somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now,
and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
We pray like this because I truly believe in Jesus. He truly died, he was buried, he rose again. And the lamb that was slain will receive the reward of his suffering. He will receive his full reward. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to your name.
Glory to your name.
Glory to your name.
Glory to your name.
Amen. We are building. It's coming. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the new move of your spirit. We thank you for the new move of your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You know, in the month of May, we've been building on a teaching series we've called Firm Foundation. Are you with me? And we are trying to go back to the basics of our faith to reestablish our convictions properly. Are you with me? And we started from asking questions like, is there a God? And that was a response to the atheists, because we discovered from people that follow us that there were a rising group of people who term themselves as atheists, who they don't believe there is a God. And so we had to both biblically and intellectually respond to that. And then we had another service, Should I Trust the Bible? And where we begin to explain, why should the Bible be trusted? How do you know the Bible is the word of God? Now, that's a lengthy teaching, but I tried to summarize it in that midweek service. Those of you that don't come for midweek service, try the follow online. Go and watch it. Are you with me? Go and watch it. Intentionally feed your spirit. Are you with me? Okay. And then, we had last week Sunday, and we're answering the question, did Jesus resurrect? Who remembers? I'm sure some of you are wondering, why are you answering those questions? We are answering it because we are living in a generation asking those questions. Are you with me? So we're answering those questions. And of course he did. Praise the Lord. And then on Wednesday we began to talk about the gospel. What exactly is the gospel? Amen. And today is more of like, I'm throwing more light on what we did on Wednesday, even though the brevity of our time will not permit, so we'll still build up. That's why we have Wednesday service and Sunday service. Amen. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 1 to 4. And we titled this The Gospel Essentials. Obviously, from the way the title is, you know that a 1 hour sermon or a 40-minute sermon cannot capture everything. Essentials of the gospel. Can I be honest with you? I feel that the biggest disfavor the current Christian today has is they don't understand the Bible. I'm telling you. If you understand the Bible and what Jesus did, I am telling you, it will sort out everything. And that's not an exaggeration. But well, let's start from the basics. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. It reads, 1 to 3, go. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And now, I tried to explain this during the midweek service. This is serious. So he's telling you, go back to verse 2. It says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What is he saying? Is he saying that if you forget the gospel, you have lost your salvation? Is that what he's talking about? And this was the example I gave. Joshua, I will use you today. my favorite illustrator. So imagine. Now, imagine you are a very, very wealthy man. You are a billionaire.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen for him now.
Amen.
So imagine I was a young chap sleeping under the bridge, had nothing to eat, had tattered clothes, and I was just hawking to survive. And then he comes along, looks at me and says, you can't be here. What are you doing here? And says, come, I want to change your life. And then he sends me to school, secondary school, university, and maybe even master's. Changes my life completely. I go on to become somebody responsible in future. And then, your name is Minister Joshua. Somebody now comes and asks me, do you know Joshua Adaiso? And I say, who is that? For me to respond that way is either I have lost my memory or something is wrong with me. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So he's telling you that if the gospel really saved you and transformed you, it will be so strong in your spirit. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That you cannot forget it. You cannot sideline it. You cannot talk down on it. The gospel will have found a very strong place in your life. That's why old Christians will even tell you the date they got born again.
Yes,
many of them, they got born again and changed their name because of the impact the gospel had on them. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So he's saying that if you are saved by this gospel, it will be so strong you cannot forget it, except you did not really believe. It will be such a deep, lasting, unending conviction in your life. So the question we want to ask is, how many Christians or how many churchgoers is the gospel having that effect on their life? Some of you may have even heard people who are called Christians, when they are talking and just say, you know, leave Jesus out of this man. Eh? But you know they do. Are you not with me?
Yes, sir.
Say, leave Jesus. Leave Jesus. The way they respond to Christ and the things of Christ, you know, is either they are not saved or this gospel has not had the effect it ought to have on them. Are you with me? You know, I asked us the other day, if you went to a herbalist and a herbalist told you that every morning, 5 a.m., you walk with your back out of your room, take a bottle, blow on it, pour it on your leg. I am telling you, half of the people that complain of morning devotion will not miss it. They will not miss it. But some of us, the Holy Ghost will even wake you. You will have a nudge in the spirit. God is waking you up to pray. And you are like, he's a merciful God. Of course he's a merciful God. But how much priority do you place on the merciful God? So Apostle Paul is saying here that if the gospel has had the impact you ought to have on your life, there is a way you will respond. Tell your neighbor, there is a way you will respond. Praise the Lord. And then he says in verse 3, he says, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Can we all read it? 1, 2, 3, go.
For I deliver unto you first of all
that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, let me explain the according to the scriptures. You know, as at when this was being written, there was no New Testament. It was Old Testament. So, he was preaching the death and resurrection of Christ from the Old Testament. Are you with me? That's what he meant by according to the scriptures. But then, why would he call the death of somebody good news? You know, I've been saying it here that the way I've been teaching these days, I will teach as though you have never heard it before. I will pretend like you've never heard it before. Do you know why? Someone sent our link to her colleague in the office. He's a Japanese. And now, he followed the service and he was lost. When somebody's asking you, who is Jesus? open to the book of Romans. What is that? Pray in tongues. And everybody's going, why are they mimicking my language? So sometimes, as we preach, we have to plan that even our style of preaching should be evangelical. Are you with me? Yes, assume that they don't know anything. Why would the death of someone be good news? Maybe you are here. You heard that somebody in Mararaba was hung on a cross. They nailed his hands, nailed his leg, and that is good news for you. How? Are you with me? Yes, Romans chapter 1. Okay. Romans 1. Have they gone? They've gone. Okay. Because Bishop is calling me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 1 verse 17. Or read from verse 16, please. Romans 1 from verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Wait a minute. That means it is this gospel that saves a man. It is not, see, as important as keeping personal resolutions, it is not what saves you. As important as it is as trying to tell yourself, I wish I can do better. Lord, I promise you. It's not, Lord, I promise you that will save you. As important as making a U-turn, it's not making a U-turn that will get a man saved. Are you with me? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, write down somewhere, gospel essential number one, God is righteous. God is righteous. God is righteous. And then, look at verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Can we read verse 18 together? 1, 2, 3, go. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So now, you have a conundrum here. God is righteous. And then men are unrighteous. Now, saying this may look like it's a simple thing to get. The righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of men. See, is as far as heaven can be from earth or earth can be from heaven. What should a righteous God do with the unrighteousness of men? Let me explain. Even the term holy, people don't know what it is. Have you ever had a test, maybe secondary school, university, maybe masters, and maybe you were 60 in the class, 59 people scored, let's say out of 100, 59 people scored 45, 50, 55. That was the average score. You know, if you see 45, you're like, ah, I didn't do well. Then you now check everybody. Oh, what did you get? Me, 46. What did you get? 45. You start feeling good. I tried now. Then you now meet like another 4. What did you get? 32. 30. So, if I even got 45, then imagine you now meet somebody. What is your score? 90. You know what's happening? That guy is holy. That's what holiness means. That you are too distinct to be classified with others. They have to separate you. So, when the writers of the Bible were trying to describe God, God was too distinct beyond anything that human beings, both in this world, outside this world, in the invisible realm, even among angels, you cannot describe. So, they called him holy. Hallelujah. Are you with me? When the Bible says that God is too holy to behold the iniquities of men, it's not because he will do ill. Is too far. Are you with me? The gap is too much. And guess what? Because of such a gap, there is only one response. Let me show you. The only righteous response for a God that high, that great, that spotless, that spotless and holy. There is only one response. Look at verse 32. So he was describing the unrighteousness of men from verse 18 down to verse 32. And then it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Are you seeing this? So now, number one, you wrote God is righteous. Number two, men are unrighteous. Number three, God's righteousness demands justice, demands judgment. We try to unpack it a lot during the midweek service. So let me give you an example. A simple text, Romans 6:23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. This was the text that led me to Christ, though. This text. The wages of sin is death. Do you know what this means? Let me explain. Have you ever read the Bible where he says, as long as the Lord liveth, not one jot nor tittle shall be taken from the word of God? Yes, please, are you with me?
Yes,
meaning that even the tenses in the Bible have significance. So for instance, in Galatians 3, Paul makes an argument with a plural S, that when God was speaking to Abraham, God told him, in your seed shall the families of the earth be blessed, not in your seeds. And Paul says that in your seed, referring to Christ alone. So Abraham had Isaac and had five other children with Keturah, so it could not be any of those children. Are you with me? Paul is making an argument with an S only. So now, when the Bible says in Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin, singular, is death. What does that mean? It means for every single time we commit sin, whether in your thoughts, in your actions, in your deeds or misdeeds, God's righteous judgment is you will die. That is God's righteous judgment. The wages of sin. So now, according to that text, if you sin twice, you will die two times. If you sin 15 times, you have a death row of 15. Can a man die more than that? Or up to that? A man can die only once. Hebrews chapter 9 is appointed unto man who wants to die. After this, the judgment. Because you have to go to hell and continue the dying. Hell. So the reason why there is a hell is because God is righteous. God is just. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So for every sin a man commits, there has to be, okay, who will take the payment for it? Who will do it? Please, are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
essentials of the gospel. And I was talking to a Muslim. I was preaching to him, my boat rider. He was telling me he's sure that when he dies, his good will outweigh his bad. And his good will outweigh his bad and will grant him access to eternity. And I said, how do you measure your good? How can you measure your good or your bad? How do you know? Okay, so let's assume you were doing good and then you did bad. So the bad that you did, who will suffer the punishment for it? Are you with me? So now, God's righteousness, God's justice, God's holiness in dealing with the unrighteousness of men is that men will pay by debt. So what does God do? God provides a ransom. God, see this, if you understand what I just said, you will shout the glory louder. God provides a ransom. God, see, don't take this lightly. I know you may have heard it a lot in church. It has become cliche. It's not a joke. Don't take it lightly. God provides a ransom. For you to be free, someone had to pay. That is why the gospel begins with debts. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And as this teaching goes on, I will explain to you the gospel in his burial. Why he must be buried. And then the gospel in his resurrection. And then the gospel in his ascension. You know those days when we used to have Easter, Good Friday services, people would say things like, "You didn't have to die, Lord. But you did it anyway." Hey! He didn't have to die. If he did not die, eh? Oh, my Jesus. You know, I explained to you, for every single time Jesus was scourged on the cross, it was for somebody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It was for somebody. It was for somebody. For, see, please, are you with me? This is why, no matter how bad your sins are, no matter how thick your mistakes are, no matter how complicated it seems your life may have been or whatever, listen! It is not a scam any longer that someone can just say, "Jesus, I believe in you," and is forgiving. It's not a scam anymore, because for God to be righteous to grant forgiveness to that person who takes the judgment for his sins. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. "He had made him who knew no sins to be sins for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The reason why God can be righteous to do that was because somebody took your sins already. Are you with me?
Yes,
so remember we said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The reason why God can be right in giving forgiveness and granting eternal life to people who were once sinners was because somebody took their place.
Yes,
he took their judgment. Now they will take his righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you. This is the basis of even deliverance.
Yes,
you, Satan, you can't hold me based on what my father's father did. You can't. Even in the Old Testament, though, Ecclesiastes 18 verse 4, from verse 1 to 4, it says, "The children, fathers have eaten sour grapes, the children's teeth are set on an edge. This proverb should no longer be used in Israel." But well, apart from that, the reason why, Jesus has taken the course for me already. Oh, they did something wrong that warranted a cost to be given to them. He took it for me.
Hallelujah.
He took it for you. Like I said on Wednesday, the greatest demonstration of pride is trying to prove to God that you can gain by your strength what he only made available for you. For instance, when we say things like, when you hear people say things like, "If you're not covering your hair with a scarf, you're going to hell." Do you know what you are saying? You are saying that a dress code is good enough to replace the work of Christ. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See after me. See, if your neighbor is sleeping, tell them, "Wake up.
Wake up, wake up, wake up."
I pray for you. Your eyes are open to this gospel.
Amen.
Isaiah 53, NLT. Isaiah 53, NLT. You know it's, "Who has believed our report, and to him is the arm of the Lord revealed. For he shall grow before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." NLT. Verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men." NLT, okay. I'm reading King James. "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care." Verse 4. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go.
Yes.
"Yet it was our weaknesses he carried."
Hallelujah.
"It was our sorrows that weighed him down." Everybody, now reach this one. 1, 2, 3, go. "And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins." On the surface, it looked like he was suffering because he did something wrong. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Verse 5. "But he was pierced for our rebellion."
Yes.
Ah, you missed the place to shout glory.
Yes.
"He was pierced for our rebellion."
Yes.
"He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." Are you with me? So that means right now, sickness is illegal.
Yes.
The work of the devil is illegal. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me even tell you something. Depression is illegal.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
What is my life about? You all wake up. What is my life about? Eh? Your life is about something. He died for you. No, he died for you. Praise the Lord.
Daddy will be almost here. But I would have loved to open this thing more.
Every time I teach the gospel, I go back and cry. You know why I cry? Because many times, I have a feeling that sometimes people still don't get it. You know, somebody asked me one day, he said, are you a hyper grace preacher? I said, explain what you mean by that. So he was saying, you know those people that preach, no matter what you do, God has forgiven you. Even when you are born again, you can keep on continuing sins. Let me tell you, if you understand what he did, you can't even think of continuing sins. I'm not saying you will not make mistakes. You may make mistakes, but you cannot get to the point where it no longer breaks you. That very thing, that sin that you are enjoying, Jesus was bleeding for it. I'm telling you, are you with me? Are you with me? Now, look at verse 6. Still NLT. Everybody, verse 6. All of us, like sheep, we have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. 1, 2, 3, go.
All of us, like sheep, have strayed away.
We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. God laid on him the sins of us all. See, the example I gave, one of the final examples I gave on Wednesday was, imagine you are a parent and you couldn't raise money to pay for your daughter's school fees. And then you had to go and hawk Gary or something. And while mommy is hawking Gary to raise your school fees, she now sees her daughter. And her daughter says, no, her daughter is her friend's. This is not know your mother. I said, no, that's not mommy. So imagine your mommy, or imagine you are the mother hawking maybe Akamu or something, trying to raise money for your child. And people are looking at you and say, see this woman. And your own child that you are doing it for is also looking at you and say, see this woman. Won't you feel bad if you are the parent? Wait, please, won't you feel bad? The people that Jesus was dying for, they were mocking him. Yet he continued. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to explain to you. So that means the reason he continued was because he knew that what he was doing will be very important for you for your life and eternity, even though you don't understand it now.
Yes, sir.
Say after me, Jesus died for me. And one story in the Bible that captures this very well is in Matthew 27, verse 16. So you know, when Jesus was about to die, Pilate wanted to release a prisoner. Please, are you with me? And so, it was a custom that whenever they want to crucify people, Pilate would just find one prisoner and release back to the people to show some good gesture. Are you with me? Something like a presidential pardon. And then Pilate now believed that, okay, Jesus was not worthy of any of the crimes that they accused him of. This man was multiplying bread, healing the sick. Maybe this will be my opportunity to just release him. The guy is innocent. He did not know that he was about to fulfill a supernatural prophecy. Let me show you something. Matthew 27 from verse 16. The Bible says, please read on with me if it's on the screen. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Verse 18. For he knew that for envy they delivered him. So the plan was, okay, I know that there is just because of envy they are pushing for Jesus to be crucified. Let me find a way to release him. It's not worthy of crucifixion. Verse 19. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things this day in the dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what then shall I do which is called with Jesus, which is called Christ? Everybody read on 1-3 go. Let him be crucified. Verse 23, everybody, 1-3 go. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. They did what? Cried out the more, let him be crucified. But Pilate now said, what evil did he do? And now Barabbas was going home free. See, let me tell you something, eh? Picture yourself. Just imagine you were Barabbas. That morning, you were in the prison. The soldier opened the gates and said, you know you are going to die today. You know. So make up your mind. They bring him out. They flog him. They're about to take him to the cross. But they say, wait. There's a ceremony that Pilate is doing. You have to come with this guy called Jesus. You say, I've heard of Jesus. That guy that does miracles, I've been hearing of him. Say, he's here to say, why will he be here? He's not doing anything wrong. But well, let's go. You go there. And now, they say, the people should make a choice. In your mind, you have already counseled out yourself because you are a notable, notorious, wicked prisoner. Your eyes are closed. Pilate now says, who should I give you this day? You're about to hear Barabbas. No, but you're about to hear Jesus. Oh, Jesus is the good guy now. It's him they will release. Me, I'm going, I'm gone. You now hear them shouting, Barabbas. Barabbas. Let them release Barabbas. Wait a minute. Am I dreaming? They are releasing me. So who is taking my place? Jesus. I am the notorious criminal. I am the one to be crucified today. I am the one to die today. I'm the one to be punished. I'm the one that my life is supposed to end today. Now I am going free and Jesus is taking my place. So he will go back home free because Jesus took his place. Do you know that even in that action, that was exactly what Jesus did? Do you know who was Barabbas? Me and you. Me and you, we are Barabbas. Barabbas. So after me, he died for me. He took my place. Therefore, I trust in him. I pray that this gospel will enter your spirits. See, it doesn't matter how bad you are. You may not even be as bad as Barabbas. But Jesus took your place to make you free. If Jesus can take the place of Barabbas, no matter how bad your sins are, he has taken your place. He has forgiven you. He has made a way for you. Are you with me? And he's calling you to come back now. Please, bow your heads. If you are here and you are not born again, say after me, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried for me. And you rose again for me. I don't trust my good works. I don't trust myself. I put my faith in you and you alone. Have your way. Make me your child. Wash me by your blood. Forgive my sins. Fill me with your spirit and welcome me to your family forever. Now and for eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.